Your Pretty Late Show intro is sponsored by European and U.S. Car Service in Uptown. Tonight, Pretty Late favorite Tess Considine stops by with some new music. We'll get our version of the Carnarvon Wagon, catch up with the ladies behind Hoo Ha Comedy, start a new segment with car guru Warren, and of course, discuss the release of a tragic video. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
It is it's a little chilly out on Michigan Avenue right now. There are still some people out and about. I think that there's a I feel like there are people anticipating, wondering if the protests that are moving west on Congress, as Esmeralda reported, and I don't know how many of you are watching any of the footage, whether it's on Periscope, other forms of social media, maybe on the news. If you follow Peter Nikias, who is a reporter for the Chicago Tribune, he is live broadcasting intermittently from the middle of the crowd, actually. There is a lot of conversation, obviously, about whether we understand the facts of the case, what our interpretation is of the video. We can talk about all those things. I do think that this comes down, again, we've mentioned this, we've had this conversation about the segregation of Chicago. This city has an issue. We struggle with acceptance. I know that it's hard to imagine if you are in a neighborhood that doesn't have violence, that isn't subject to a lack of mobility, to opportunity, but this city for over 110 years has segregated the black community. There's no denying that. We have all passively or actively participated in isolating an entire community. And I think that this is a process to reverse a lot of wrongs. And I don't know where we begin or how we begin. But I also think when we talk about this, I hope we can all have a conversation. We can argue, but I hope that it will be a conversation. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of anger. I watched Peter Nikias's broadcast of the protest, and people were typing things like, good, another welfare mouth we don't have to feed. These people look illiterate. They deserve what they get, those kinds of things. And it's upsetting to me. And the language that is used when there is rage, I don't know why a community or anybody who is upset because of the language they use somehow makes them less worthy of being heard. And maybe you don't like vulgar language, but sometimes that is the language of rage. I don't think it's easy to be polite or even articulate for anybody of any color when they're angry. I do want to start the conversation. I invite you to join us. 312-981-7200. John is on the line. He wants to talk with us. Hey, John, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I think the situation that you're dealing with is a rogue cop. This is not something that permeates the entire police force.
I agree.
I think it's a guy that went bad, overreacted, and whether through prejudice or whatever reason whatsoever. I mean, I heard a report, and correct me if I'm wrong, that he's been called up 18 times by civilians for overreacting or going beyond the necessary treatment of a potential person that he's arresting. So, I mean, you just have a bad cop here, and I don't think it speaks for the entire police force. I'm not a policeman, but
right.
I think that's a big factor in all this.
And I think the other problem people have is that it did take 400 days for the state's attorney's office to file first-degree murder charges. Last month, city council voted to approve $5 million to the family ahead of filing charges for this shooting. And the video is only out because a reporter, an independent journalist, pressed for it and sued for it. Otherwise, we don't even know if the charges would have been brought. So I think that, yes, one rogue cop, but a lot of people are speculating that the lack of information and the way this was handled in the beginning makes people suspicious of the rest of the police department, and it's not helpful. Look, we have this recent case with the I'm sorry. Go ahead, John. You can talk.
The prosecutor said that she wanted to make sure that all the I's were dotted and T's were crossed before she filed charges.
Right.
Just so that he couldn't get off on a technicality. And I admire her for going that extra step to do so, because the last thing you want is basically a crime of this nature to go off the books because somebody screwed up. So I'm not saying that you need that many days to do it,
right?
But I kind of admire her for making sure that everything was covered.
Yeah, and that it's done. I think that ultimately the fact that charges were brought is important here. First degree murder. So, yes, I agree with that. And you are correct. Craig just told me in my ear that you were correct. There were 18 complaints against Officer Van Dyke for overreacting or for various things. And that's another problem. But see, again, with the Chicago Police Department, and we admire the work that you do. This is a job most of us can't or won't do. But at the same time, we also have to, like John just said, it's one rogue cop. We have to admit that this happens, that there are bad apples. And then we have to take care
of 18 situations. You think they would have brought him in and, you know, did something.
Exactly.
To address that issue.
And that's where it becomes a responsibility of the police office, the police department, or the group that's in charge of investigating those complaints. John, thank you.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Exactly.
Thank you for having my call.
Of course. And we appreciate you moving the conversation forward, as everyone does, on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Over a year ago, in October of 2014, there was a call for police to respond. I'm not sure what the original call was, but if you've watched the video or if you know anything about the video, perhaps by now you know that it has been released a year after, over almost 400 days after the shooting. A young man was in the middle of the street brandishing possibly a knife. If you watch the video, there is a shiny object in his hand. And several squad cars arrive, and two officers are out of the car with their weapons drawn. I don't know if you watch and count. I counted about 5-6 seconds before they opened fire, and that's where we are tonight. We have Attorney Rich Lenkoff, who is the more attractive and more talented half of Legal Face Off on WGN Plus. How are you doing, Rich?
Good, Patty. How are you?
I'm good. I'm. You know, there's a lot going on tonight. It's stressful, and I want to have a conversation with everybody. But it seems like everyone has opinions. But there are the legal aspects of this that are, better phrase, black and white. I guess is there black and white in this as far as clear cut for why it would take the state's attorney 400 days to bring charges?
There's no black and white on it. I mean, these things do take time. I think that there was some politics involved. I think the fact that she released it the day before the court imposed deadline is telling. Who knows how long it would have taken without that. So I don't think it should have taken this long. I think anyone who's seen the video, it's fairly clear that there was enough probable cause to charge him way earlier than this long. So, yeah, I think it's a little unusual that it took this long. I think people have the right to be upset. On the other hand, you know, again, police shootings do take time, especially when, as Anita Alvarez said, the federal government is also investigating. So I give her some credibility, but it took way too long, I think.
Well, when you say that there's a lot to investigate here, do you think include what the procedure was carried out by the Chicago Police Department in the moments following the shooting? Not just by the officer, right?
Yes. I mean, the fact that there were so many officers, the fact that, the other officers weren't shooting. I mean, there was a lot involved. But again, you know, you have the resources of one of the biggest state's attorney's offices in the country. You have a seasoned state's attorney. I don't think it should have taken this long. I don't really buy her argument that these things often take longer, especially given the climate that we're in. She should have known that this video would raise a lot of emotion issues, and I think she should have concluded the investigation way earlier.
When you say there were political reasons, you suspect, what are the political reasons for not sharing the video, for not releasing it sooner?
Well, you know, she has to answer to the police officers also. Remember, she has to deal with them every day. She needs them on her side. Most cases, you know, the grand majority of cases, the state's attorney and the police are working hand in hand to get to a successful prosecution. So, you know, she's very conscious of the relationship that she has to maintain with the police, while also considering the public's right to know, and also not tainting the jury pool. I mean, a lot of people obviously have seen the video. They will have seen the video by the time this case gets to trial. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different issues that she has to consider when bringing. Remember, this is the first time, at least that's been reported. Most of the media is reporting that this is the first time ever a Chicago police officer has been charged with first-degree murder. So, you know, she had to make sure that there was a good basis for doing so.
What is required in the charge of first-degree murder? What are the standards for that?
So you need to prove both. So it's defined as an unlawful killing. Mm-hmm. That's both willful and premeditated.
Okay.
Meaning that it was committed after some kind of planning or lying in wait. That doesn't mean that there has to be a long period of time. You know, you often think, well, premeditation means there's some plot. That's not so. I mean, this could qualify as premeditation. It could qualify as willful. As you mentioned a few seconds ago, there was at least 5 or 6 seconds on the video between the time that the police rolled up and the time that the shooting took place. So that is enough to prove the premeditation required for first-degree murder.
And there are also now information about the fact that this particular police officer, Jason Van Dyke, had 18 complaints filed against him for excessive force. Will that be something that's used against him in this first-degree charge?
Probably. I mean, that's, you know, it's something, obviously, that his attorney will try to keep out as not relevant. The state will try to keep it in. The standard for that kind of thing is whether the prior conduct is more probative than prejudicial.
Mm-hmm.
That means whether it really can be used to prove that, you know, he had the intent necessary in this case versus, you know, it's just being used to show that he's a bad guy. So in other words, anytime you're trying to admit prior evidence of bad acts for any kind of defendant, the state has to prove that it has more probative value than its prejudicial effect on the jury, which I think in this case it probably will. I don't know the extent of the prior charges,
mm-hmm.
but I would imagine they would get in front of the jury.
Right. It includes excessive force and racial slurs, including two involving the use of a firearm in addition to the McDonald's shooting. I'm going to take a call from one of our listeners who has a question about self-defense, I think. Do you mind, Rich?
No, of course.
Hey, Glenn, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Yourself?
I'm very well. It's an interesting evening. Let's put it that way. What did you want to talk about?
Well, what I want to talk about is basically, even if the individual officer life was threatened, what is the line between self-defense and just outright murder? And the more I'm listening to this, it's almost execution style. I haven't seen the video, probably won't see the video, but it's almost like they executed this gentleman. And so my question is, what is the line you cross between self-defense and either premeditated or otherwise murder?
Right. Okay.
I mean,
just like
2-3 bullets. You know, I don't know.
Right.
How many times did he reload?
It was, he emptied his clip, 16 bullets. 1 second, Glenn. Go ahead, Rich.
He tried to reload, actually. The report
did he?
Is that he tried to reload, and he was ordered to stand down by a fellow officer, which, you know, certainly goes to his intent and certainly would be a strong indication that he wasn't acting in self-defense. I mean, the video, I think, it's hard to argue that he was acting in self-defense based on the video. I mean, number one, the victim is walking away. I mean, he's visibly walking to the right. He's not walking at all towards the officer, at least not on the video. You know, he receives a number of shots in his back. He doesn't lunge at him. He doesn't jump. It doesn't seem, again, from any viewing of the video, that the officer had any reasonable belief that his life was in danger. But to answer the caller's question, certainly an officer has the right to use lethal force if his life is threatened or if he perceives that. In this case, that's going to be the question. Obviously, the defense attorney has already come out. Dan Herbert has already said that there's more to the video. The state of mind of the officer was that he was being threatened by the knife. That's going to be the key question that the jury needs to decide, whether the officer's feeling that his life was being threatened was reasonable. From the video, I think it's a hard, I think it's an almost insurmountable obstacle, but that's going to be the question in the trial.
I'm going to take one more call. Thank you, Glenn. I'm going to take one more call from Lisa, has a question about the video. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Patty. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
You know, I have so many emotions going on about all of this, especially now that this video has come to be. And I understand Freedom of Information Act. I get that. We have the right to know things. However, I really wonder, and believe me, I feel very strongly that this probably was a case of police misconduct. However, the jury pool is now tainted that this video has been released. I understand that there's a choice between a bench trial and a jury trial. And, you know, how can they go ahead and put all of this out for public viewing before a case has even come to trial? I don't understand.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Lisa. We'll get an answer from Rich. What do you think about that as far as
obviously a good question. I mean, the standard isn't whether the jury has seen the video. The standard will be whether the jury, having seen the video, can put aside any preconceived notions or bias or feelings about guilt or innocence and render a verdict based only on the evidence. Now, you know, you might think, well, that's really just legalese and that doesn't mean anything. And that could be. I mean, listen, we don't know ever to what extent a jury brings their bias into a case. And certainly someone who, you know, if you're a juror and you've seen the video, you've heard the mayor of Chicago already basically say this guy was guilty. I agree with you that would be tough to get a fair trial, but that's the system we have. I mean, right. That's the system we have. Now, you could argue that the video shouldn't have been released because it's a piece of evidence. A lot of people argue that, but again, in this era of social media, of everyone having a video, I mean, look at the protest now, having, you know, had the video held up for a year. Imagine if it would be another year before the case gets to trial and people didn't see the video. So,
right.
You know, it's a tough balance between society's need to see these kind of things and for the police to be transparent and maintaining that evidence.
Well, Rich, you've shared a lot of insight on this, especially with your legal expertise as the better half of Legal Face Off, which everyone can check out on WGN Radio. WGNRadioPlus.com? WGNPlus.com. And Jason Whiteside's the other guy. Rich, we'd love to check in with you again maybe next week. I know that we've run out of time, and our newsman probably is itching for me to press the spots button. But thank you so much for joining us. And really, that was very helpful, I think, for our conversation.
Thanks, Patty. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And to our other callers, Joe, I agree. We should be definitely rewarding our police officers who do a great job. There's no doubt about that, and we miss talking to you. And also, Rich, if you would hold on the line, you're asking about the outrage about the daily violence. We have a conversation we're going to continue after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And as Rob Martier and Esmeralda Leon have been reporting, tonight's big story, the biggest news of the day, is that the city of Chicago has released a videotape of a young man being shot by the Chicago Police Department, Officer Jason Van Dyke. And the shooting of Laquan McDonald is something that's on a lot of our minds right now. And with us is Pastor Corey Brooks, who is a pastor, a businessman, a philanthropist, a songwriter, mentor, and spiritual coach, and has been urging peaceful protests tonight. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, and thank you for having me on the show on WG, and I appreciate it.
Well, you know, we've heard your voice many times on the station. I remember hearing you, I believe you were on the rooftops of demanding
absolutely
an attention for violence, and John Williams had you on quite often, and I heard that you were on Sue Cochran today. What would you like the city of Chicago to understand about a community that is under fire?
Well, they need to understand that in Chicago, and especially the south side and west side of Chicago, you're dealing with neighborhoods where you have young African-American males who are very frustrated, very angry, and they're living in a hopeless situations. You know, it's economically deprived. The educational system has failed them. There's just total breakdown of the family. And so when you add situations like this, it's like adding gasoline to a fire that is already lit. And it's a very tough situation, a situation that I'm hoping and praying that we can rectify in the future.
Well, and you mentioned education. You know, that's, again, we've talked about that on this show, where there, it's an access to progress that seems to be limited in a neighborhood that we have isolated in the city of Chicago. And, people get angry and they look. I want to ask you about this because we were watching a lot of the protests, and I'm not sure if you're, are you familiar with periscoping?
Absolutely. I was on Periscope earlier watching the same protest.
I will have to follow you because there was Peter Nikias, who is a reporter for the Chicago Tribune, was live broadcasting from the protest. And you can read those comments, right? So people will have questions or they say things. And it's sort of overwhelming when you see people write things like, good, another one less welfare mouth to feed. Or I don't have to, this nice language, all the vulgarity, who's going to listen to you anyway? I think that there's something to be said for people who are outraged. How can we dismiss a community because they're using vulgar language? Doesn't mean that they somehow deserve treatment that is dehumanizes them, I think.
Absolutely. You know, what people have to understand is, first of all, we have freedom of speech in this country, and that's one of the reasons why I love America. We not only have freedom of speech, we also have the freedom to demonstrate our First Amendment rights. And so, you know, for people to be upset about people's language and things that they say, and then in return use the same derogatory comments toward others is foolishness. And I hope that one of these days that our society would elevate to a level to where people can have dialogue and discussion and be on opposite sides without having to demean the other person. But we have a long way to go. It's the history of America, unfortunately, that racial tensions are always, something that has to be dealt with.
Pardon me, Pastor. Our newsman, Rob Martier, needs to jump in.
Yeah, Patty, we've been telling you that the protesters were lingering around Lower Wacker Drive near Congress Expressway. Apparently now they have made it up onto Interstate 290, and they are blocking traffic in both directions.
Well, I hope everybody's being safe. Pastor, so that's where the protest has moved. That sounds like something that could be dangerous for people to be on the highway. Well, we were talking about language and the form of protest because people right now are going to be annoyed. That's going to be what it is now. They're going to be like, why did you block traffic? But, this is a community, and we've talked about this before when there were riots about Ferguson, when it's happened in the last year. I don't know how we can question a community's frustration and rage. And, yes, we don't want – I guess if it doesn't affect us, it's okay if they are protesting, I guess is the point of view.
Right. You know, it's all right to protest and demonstrate, but we need to be civil, and we need to have protests where we're not breaking laws and violating laws. That does nothing to further the cause of justice.
Right.
When you're protesting and demonstrating, there are still laws to follow. This is America, and people need to abide by those laws regardless of the situation. And at no time ever do we have a right just to break laws because we're angry, we're mad, we're upset. Yes, demonstrate. Yes, protest, but do it civilly.
And our listener, Rich, has a question about the outrage. Hey, Rich, thank you so much for hanging on so long. What did you want to tell us?
Hey, I'm not real articulate like you guys are, so
I get lost in my own thoughts all the time, Rich. You're fine.
Yeah, me too. Well, I like the lighter subjects. I drive trucks, so lighter subjects makes the night go by better.
Sure.
But I fully understand why they're protesting, the loss of that young man's life, being killed by the police officer. I understand that. But I don't understand them, the violence that they bring upon through their protests. Like I just heard in the last newscast, they're throwing rocks and blocking traffic. Now, the big question I've got is, less than a month ago, that 9-year-old boy was executed in his own backyard, just about at his grandmother's house?
Yes.
No.
Tyshawn Lee, yes.
Right. I'm terrible on names.
That's okay.
I barely remember mine.
I wasn't saying it for you. I was saying it for everybody.
Okay.
It's okay, Rich.
But why aren't there protests like that in the neighborhoods? The neighborhoods are being, annihilated. There was times when we were safe in Iraq, And somebody in the neighborhood has to know.
Right.
Right. I think, well, first of all, and thank you, that's a good question. But people are frustrated, and they do demonstrate about the violence in our neighborhood. That's one of the things that I'm actively engaged in, making sure that I try to do everything I can with black-on-black violence, with young black males killing young black males. I'm very passionate about that, and there are a lot of people who are just as passionate as well. So there are protests, and there are things to that we talk about concerning that. But when you add race and when you add police authorities into the mix, it takes it to a whole nother level for some people. But I will say again that there's still no reason to use violence. Throwing bottles at the police and things of that sort is still uncalled for. At no time should we ever break the law, even though we believe the law may have been broken against us. We should not trespass just because others have trespassed, and we should not have violence just because others have violence. That's not the way to do it. You know, if you live life an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, then that leaves everybody blind and toothless, and we don't want to do that.
Exactly. And again, listen to each other. I think that we tend to shut down conversations by believing so strongly on our point of view. We have to listen to each other. Yes,
we got a text message from the 630. I think it's extremely important to follow what the parents have been requesting, which is keeping the protest peaceful in order to keep his legacy, the legacy, a positive one and not a negative one. This comes from Mr. Kite.
I agree completely. We're talking to Pastor Corey Brooks, who is really been a vocal, just so vocal about the need for level-headed protests, and also trying to draw attention to the need to bring an end to violence in the neighborhoods in Chicago that are really at disadvantage, and we continue to isolate communities by not offering the same level of education and access to mobility as we do in the rest of the city. Pastor, can you hold on for a moment as we take
Absolutely.
A break? Appreciate that.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back with Pastor Corey Brooks. You're listening 720 WGN Treats. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and we are, of course, talking about the big news story of the day and this very important, Pastor Brooks, Pastor Corey Brooks is on the line with us. What are your thoughts on releasing this video? Is this something that you think was a positive development, or do you think that it's harmful to everyone in general?
Well, I think that it should have been released. You know, we have a Freedom of Information Act, and we ought to, again, abide by the laws. When there's information that's supposed to be released, it should be released. The sad thing about it is that it's released almost a year too late. And I think if it had been released earlier, we would not be in the situation that we're in right now. And the tension that we're dealing with would not be at the level that it is right now. I think to not release it a year ago and to hold it all this time has only heightened and made people more angry.
And have you watched the video?
Yes, I have.
What are your thoughts when you see that video of Laquan walking down the street and then being shot?
Well, I'm angered by it more so because I wanted to be hopeful and believe that maybe this young man did lunge at the police, and so maybe his judgment, you know, he made a judgment call because that's what we were told. But after seeing the video, we know very well that the young man did not lunge at the police. He was in no danger. The policeman was in no danger at all. And that, when you see that, that's what makes it so dramatic, and that's what makes a person so upset about it, because you feel like you've been misled.
One of our listeners, Patrick, wanted to join the conversation. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. What do you want to say?
A couple of things. Well, going back to the boy that was killed about a month ago, and the comment about not going up in arms about that and in that community. And I think one thing that I thought of is, you know, why does that community have to be up in arms? Why can't
everyone feel
Chicago
the same outrage? Absolutely.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing is, I'm a former Chicago public school teacher and taught on the Southwest side, and I feel like, you know, we really need to help our communities, and we really need to bump up education and really start to fill these neighborhoods with the things that they need, the economic things, the education.
Yes.
And come together as a city and not as neighborhoods, or that's
yes.
not in my neighborhood, it's not my problem.
I agree, Patrick.
You know, this affects everybody.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. What do you think, Pastor, about that?
Absolutely. He hit it right on the head that we're dealing with areas of deprivation, educational deprivation, food deprivation, economic deprivation. Mm-hmm. And when you have those things in neighborhoods, in a country like America, in a city like Chicago, it is very unfortunate. There is no way in America and in Chicago that we should have neighborhoods that are barely surviving and people are not able to have options and opportunities. That just should not be in America, but it is in almost not just Chicago, but in every major city in America, you see these same issues, these same situations over and over again.
Yep. That's Pastor Corey Brooks, and we thank you so much for your time. Go to coreybrooks.com to keep up with what he's doing these days. And we thank you again, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you so much.
More after this at 720 WGN. We are fortunate to have in studio with us one of our favorite musicians. We met her. She was the very first competitor that we ever had on our show from the Bitter Jester Battle of the Bands. And we are so delighted that we were able to cross paths to have her watch her develop over the last year. She's gone from a high school student who was, you know, just chipping away at her music and really developing some beautiful just music that we've loved. And now she's at Interlochen. We've lost her to the fancy schmancies. So right now, what song are you going to play for us, Tess?
So It Goes.
So It Goes. Here's Tess Considine.
Of Marlboro's says it kills, so we go. Rolls buck of Carter's does her good, cleans her clothes like she should. Of the Bible on her arm, closer to heaven with the permanent charm. Pale skin and freckled face, delicate and easily misplaced. What have they done? Please ask them, for you deserve more than a letter and a gun. On a Saturday, neon signs call her name. Day's paycheck spent on games, inhaling fumes, exhaling blame. Where's your mother? Your father? What have they done? Please ask them, for you deserve more than a ladder and a gun. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. always wears black, preparing for the funeral she wants to have. Oh, wears makeup to the bone, nothing on her body, wants to be owned by her, wants to be cared by her, wants to be praised by her, wants to be loved by her. Who is your mother, your father? What have they done? Please ask them, for you deserve more than a letter and a gun.
What just happened?
I don't know, but I feel like we really needed it.
Yeah.
I feel like I didn't know I needed a Tess Constantine, but
My skin feels different.
I kind of needed a Tess Constantine right there. I think that was really beautiful. It was haunting. It was infused with like a lot of love. Like you just wanted to share that with everybody.
Yeah.
It was really beautiful, Tess Constantine.
Thank you.
We also have in studio with us some friends of ours from Doty Liquors. Weird combination. We've got a teenager and booze.
They are in separate corners.
They are separated by parents. The parents are in between the said alcohol. And actually, it's been like that since the very first time I think Tess was on the show. So it's not anything new from her experiences here. We have George, who wanted to share some of their they're celebrating 40 years in business in Elmhurst. And you can put your headphones on or your microphone's on if you want to talk to me.
I wasn't sure.
I don't know what to prepare. Well, you brought cocktails, so you're prepared well for our, we can't call it the Carnarvon Wagon because, well, one, it's not Friday. If it were Friday, we could just say the Carnarvon Wagon had continued to roll through. But if we do our own cocktail feature, we'll have to figure out our own name. We can't steal from Rokan. What have you prepared for us?
Well, we have a couple of drinks. First of all, thank you so much for having us
here. Our pleasure. Thank you.
It's very exciting.
I like that you have notes. I don't think enough guests come with notes, and I like George already more than a lot of our guests. He brought Nicole. He brought Paul. I'm not sure who you are, but that's okay.
John is our
John
mixologist.
Oh, you're a mixologist. We love mixologists on the show. We like the providers. We like the mixers. We like all of that. Go ahead. Sorry.
So special just for you tonight. We created what we call the Patty Purple Passion, which
I like alliteration.
It includes a vodka, a rum, a tequila, triple sec.
You know me so well.
The special ingredient, razzmatazz.
And what's then, razzmatazz?
It is a
sounds like a cheerleader move. Razzmatazz.
It's a raspberry liqueur from De Kuyper.
Oh, you do know me. Okay. So,
cranberry juice, lemon juice, and agave nectar.
Oh,
so
all of that's happening, John. It's really put together very well. Did you, Nicole? Are these? She's like, no, I had the tray of cocktails.
I actually made.
Hold on a second. Let me see if I can get you. Yes.
Oh, I actually made one of the other drinks, except I didn't really measure.
You didn't measure? Oh, so I should probably get my Uber now. I should have my Uber driver on standby. John, will you swing that microphone over by you? Over by you? This is really lovely. Now, do you, that's a lot of different, that's like a Long Island iced tea in a very small drink.
It's like a Long Island on steroids, pretty much. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, not on steroids, on fantasticness.
Yeah, because it tastes amazing.
Yeah, because Long Island iced tea, you're like, oh, I'm not going
to make it. I just drank a whole lot of liquor.
Yes. Yeah. Paul, what did you make without measuring?
Oh.
The same thing, but just with a...
You know what? It has sake in it. It has rye whiskey in it.
What?
Yes. And then, it's insane.
No one light a match anywhere near Paul.
Yeah, that's correct. Yes. No, we have orange juice in it, and we have fresh ginger in it. And to top it off...
What?
To top it off...
All right. Look, Paul does not look pleased.
Oh, the ginger beer is in there.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
All right.
We're calling this one the Rye Knot.
We had to sample before.
Oh, my God.
We're doing it Doty style.
Maybe
so.
We should have ordered food. Something to go with that.
It's funny you mention that.
We're including there is a High West Double Rye from our friends over at Vintage. So
High West Double Rye, yes.
Our guest in the green room, our mechanic, brought us Sloppy Joe's.
What?
Yes, you got food, Patty.
Christmas sloppy joe. There's something with sake and double rye, and then there's sloppy
and a
Joe
sloppy Joe that's just perfect.
It does Constantine's in the studio.
But
it doesn't
get any
better.
Ask you, do you,
yes, Polly?
Do you like it?
I really do.
Oh, God.
Are you a Jenner fan?
I wish that I could explain to people. I mean, I make that that means that like it's really living here in my throat. And you can get secondary. You know how people can like have secondhand smoke or secondary highs? If you were standing in front of me, you'd be like, oh, I don't have to go drinking at all tonight.
I actually wanted to say something. I've been following you since you actually started.
Since I started what?
This well.
Wait, like, remember when you were playing basketball in eighth grade?
Yeah, like life? Yeah, this is
you were really
well.
You were really good at free throws, but I mean, really, fouling out every game seems a little excessive. Yes, okay.
Since WGN, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of people are wondering how you do it. I don't think you're quite human. You have on ABC a show that's been green lighted or lit
for development.
Yes, called The Better Half, which is the first network comedy created by two Latinas.
Yeah, when you say it that way, it sounds really cool.
It is. It is very cool. But just not that. Not only do you do that, of course.
I don't remember getting the memo that we were going to do this. What the Patty page? Okay. What else did I do?
Well,
I'm curious.
Oh, geez. Well,
you found out a lot.
Headlining stand-up comedian. Who travels
Which, by the way, thank you for coming to the fundraiser for Esperanza Community Services. That was very nice of you at the Zanies in Rosemont.
That was a blast.
Have you seen Lipstick Mom? Have you seen her Lipstick Mom show?
Lipstick Mom's a similar, a little bit of it, but not. I did a little of it at the Beverly Arts Center.
I mean, if we're just going through all your successes, there's a lot of them.
Climbing the Sears, Willis Tower.
Yes, Sears.
I could have gone maybe six flights. That's about it.
Once you get to 80, it's not too bad.
80. Did you really climb all of it? No elevator.
No.
But the elevator.
But I did walk.
Down.
I walked. I climbed a little. Walked a little. Climbed a little. Walked a little. And then I kept going. And then at 80, I just did the last 23 floors.
Oh my God.
Let's take a break and let's see what else I've done. More after this on 720 WGN. And more music from Tess Constantine and some more booze from Dodie.
I cry from the other side. Smile as hard as I can. You'd see with broken lens. The words you say.
It's lovely music from one of our favorite musicians, Tess Constantine. I mean, I don't know if I can say one of. I think that we have to go ahead and say our favorite musician. Well, 10 times. I don't think that there's not really a contest. George from Dodie's Liquors was like, how long can we stay till one? And I was like, but I got a mechanic. You're our liquor guy. We got our mechanic. We got our car guy coming on next. Who is, so this half hour is basically being sponsored by Dodie Liquors in Elmhurst.
And we got Warren Price sitting out there, and he's going to come in to give us some car tips at 12:30.
Exactly. And so I don't know if
everybody can hang out, though. Maybe at 1 o'clock we can start just mixing everybody together.
Yeah. So so George was telling us about some bacon bourbon that they have.
Right.
And then there was a conversation about, let's just make a Bloody Mary. And how do we – there's so much going on. This is – you're about to beat Zanies in the number of beverages that have been made. Okay. So tell us about – what did you want to talk about, George?
Well, first of all, the bacon bourbon is given to us by our friends at Burke Beverage.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Schaefer is
a wonderful guy.
Thank you, Bob. We're rimming a glass with bacon, bacon bits, and then you have Bloody Mary mix with a bacon bourbon. So,
and what Bloody Mary mix do you recommend?
This is out of Lincoln Park. It's called Vintage Vine.
Vintage Vine. They participated in the Highwood Bloody Mary contest, so I have had Vintage Vine. I think they did pretty well. I'm pretty sure they placed in the top three, if not better.
I just wanted to let everybody know that we're going to upload all of these recipes to our Dodie Liquors Facebook page. So hopefully if anybody's interested. What do you think? You a bacon fan?
You just had the patty drink?
I don't know what that means.
That's really good.
What one is that?
That's a Bloody Mary with bacon bourbon in it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Sounds real nice.
Oh, they did not. I don't think they did this for the contest. This is your comment. It's your recipe, right?
It is, yes.
You should enter in the Bloody Mary contest in Highwood. Okay. I'm seriously recommending it. Yeah, and so the big thing is obviously the garnish. Like, some people go crazy with the garnish. There's pictures on Facebook.
We have to get involved.
Yes, please. Okay, continue, sir.
And then also, just a little history about our store. We have some annual events during the year. We have a big beer tasting in August, and then we do a holiday tasting in November. Okay. So,
when are those? When's the holiday tasting? Did we miss the one in November?
Yeah, next November 4th.
Okay.
We're going to have the Diplomat West Banquet Hall.
Lovely.
I'd also like to throw a little shout out to Dave from Aloha Limousine.
Hi, Dave.
Who's carting us around tonight.
Hey, is he just driving around waiting for you?
I don't know. I think he is, actually.
Tell him to stay away from 290 is all I'm saying.
All right, Dave, stay away from 290.
Yeah. If I'd known, we would have gotten you parking. Dave could just hang out like the limo driver from Die Hard.
Why would you take limos away from them, by the way, though? If they got a limo, that sounds amazing.
I'm not taking limos away from them.
Or park the limo down.
Park the limo the driver from Die Hard.
We could give you a remote, and you can go broadcast out there.
Hey, I grew up in a limo because my dad was a chauffeur.
Yeah. Patty, I have to ask you a question.
Yes, sir. Yes. George, he's taking your time, just so you know.
He is. We have a couple of minutes here. So.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, George. Go ahead.
We have one more drink that we want you to celebrate your Irish heritage.
Okay, yes.
And it's Kerrygold Irish Cream, mm-hmm. which Kerrygold makes dairy and butter in Ireland. They're the largest producers.
Mm-hmm.
Our friends from Stoller.
So, Kerrygold is the same,
Stoller
yes.
Glazier.
I do enjoy that butter.
You do. So now you're going to have to taste the Irish cream.
Please. Oh, my God. I feel like you should have
Where are the drinks coming from? Just he just reaches behind himself and then drinks are
okay,
there.
Okay, this is a reference only very few people are going to know. There's a show called The Warehouse 13. And one of the characters has, like, it looks like a doctor's bag. And whatever he needs at that particular moment, he can just get out of his bag. I feel like you have a liquor bag just like that. Yes.
I have to tell you, we're
like Mary Poppins.
We're
or
in
something.
All
yes,
right.
It yes. is a Mary Poppins bag. It's Mary Poppins bag.
It's a Mary Poppins liquor bag.
We have a long time employee who's our manager at Doty Liquors. And she has a little saying. Her name is Kim. And it says, we may be small, and she means in size, but we have it all. So. Mm.
Oh, that's just lovely. And where in Elmhurst do we find Doty's?
We are on York Road in Fullerton, just north of the 290 Expressway.
Okay, wonderful. So. Let me go back to this Bloody Mary. What did you rim this with?
That's with actually bacon salt.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bob Schaefer told us to do that.
Yeah, thank you, Bob Schaefer.
Bob Schaefer, he knows his stuff.
That's really good. And you wanted to say one more thing before I take a break. We are going to let you stay if you want. Everyone can hang out. We've got to hear more music from Tess. We have our...
So this is our gift to you.
Oh, yeah, they also brought you a gift.
Oh, that's right.
The Mary Poppins bag.
I don't know where that came from.
This is a hockey stick filled with what?
Don't ask where that came from.
Premium vodka from Canada.
Okay, this is a hockey stick filled with vodka.
High stick vodka.
That's, you definitely have high stick vodka. I don't even know. If you go to WGNradio.com, you can see video. Is the goal to drink out of the stick?
I'm thrilled that you're holding it above your head right now in, like, victory formation. That is a hockey stick of vodka.
Well, it definitely requires both hands on the stick.
Oh, for sure.
Otherwise, you know, you run the risk of it slipping. You have to have one hand for backup,
absolutely.
One hand for gripping. And go ahead and mark that. You can give it to Nick D anytime you want.
Oh, we can take a break, Patty. All right. I think we can take a break.
Let's take a quick break. Hold on a second. I'm posing, Craig. I can't push any buttons while I'm holding the stick.
I got the button.
More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. In just a moment, we're going to catch up with Craig's car guy. We've had our liquor guys in the studio. Warren from European and U.S. Car Service at 4080 North Broadway brings us this half hour of conversation. Right now, it's time for music from Tess Considine. Here she is with Warm Hands.
Warm hands be my eye when you tickle my back in summertime. Warm hands be my eye, you don't go cold when winter cries. Fingers intertwined, stretching miles wide, borders only lie. Broke them, fingers intertwined, stretching miles wide, borders only lines. Broke them in time, time. touch lingering, my pale skin's tingling, warm hands be my iron, it don't burn me, pain gets me every time, fingers intertwined, stretching miles wide, borders only lines, broke them, fingers intertwined, stretching miles wide, borders only lines, broke them in time, 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 time.
Test Constantine, warm hands. And I think that makes your heart a little warmer. Really, it was music that we needed tonight, Tess. I couldn't think of a better night for you to be here.
Thank you.
Although every night you're here, you make it better.
Aww.
We're going to catch up a little bit with you in a moment. We have, first of all, I don't know why I'm having Sloppy Joes, but I'll take them because it's one of my favorites. I mean, I lit up like a Christmas tree when you said Sloppy Joes were in the green room because our guest Warren brought them.
It's Sloppy Joe night for Warren.
Liz, come on up to the microphone.
And Warren, throw those headphones on, too.
Yeah, put the grab some headphones. So I think these are all plugged in. Our friend Warren is the proprietor. Is that the best way to put it?
It works.
Do you like owner or proprietor? Does Dad get all fancy and say, I own this joint?
I own, yes.
European and U.S. Car Service at 4080 North Broadway, and that's in Wrigleyville, right by Lakeshore Drive. Not far from there, right?
Yes, it is.
I was reading your card inside my coffee cup that you were nice enough to bring. How much did business pick up after a Friday, if I may ask?
We were busy Saturday. Saturday was a very rough morning.
You have 30,000 square feet of auto body and mechanical repair?
Well, about 38,000.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to undersell the joint is.
You started it.
I did. I really did. Let me ask you, how old were you when you started working on cars?
14.
14 years or so. Something with Dad or something in the family?
A family.
Family thing?
Yeah.
Family mechanics?
Well, an uncle owned an automobile dealership, and I went to work there.
And you were
cheap
labor?
City job.
What was your city job?
I was a camp counselor.
You're a camp counselor? How do you go from camp counselor to, sure, give me a wrench?
I need money.
Yeah? All right. That'll do it. Did you fall in love with it at all at some point, or was it just kind of tedious work at first?
It was fun.
It was fun?
It was fun.
To get in there and figure it all out.
Uh-huh.
Where were you a camp counselor?
Sauganash Park, River Park. And what was the other one?
Come on a little closer to the microphone. We want to hear that fantastic voice you have.
Some other place over at Irving Park, West. You
some
know.
Other joint.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Chicago then?
Yes, I did.
What neighborhood?
I was born at Mount Sinai Hospital.
Mm-hmm. That's specific. No one's ever been that specific. I like that.
At what time, Warren?
Mark it.
early in the morning.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So Mount Sinai.
Yeah, Mount Sinai, then Humboldt Park.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up there, then moved to Budlong Woods, Foster, California area.
I love that neighborhood.
Uh-huh. Then I went to Budlong School, Amundsen High School, and so on and so forth.
And now you have your own auto body shop.
And he is a car genius, by the way.
Genius.
I think our listeners know that I got in an accident, and Warren just had to look at my car, and he could tell me what was wrong with it.
It don't go.
Yeah.
It was smashed.
It was smashed. I don't know if I want to ask specifically about the type of car, because Craig has talked about something called a death wobble on his particular car.
Warren, I forgot to mention, my car is a death wobble.
Do you know about the death wobble?
Well, I'm only going to guess that he can barely hold on to the steering wheel.
Yeah, every once in a while you hit a bump or something, and then you feel like you're in a very violent massage.
If someone has a car with that sort of sensation when they're driving, what do you recommend they do?
Get a new one. No.
Keep it, get it fixed, love it forever.
You can have it inspected and see what's wrong with it, basically. You
right.
gotta look at the shocks and the tie rod ends, ball joints, stabilizer links.
Mm-hmm. Is there a type of car, you mentioned off the air that Toyotas and Hondas are the cars to make money off in the sense for resale value?
Resale, yeah.
Yeah, because, right now, what is it like with all the recalls? Are you dealing with any of that?
No, I don't. I'm an independent.
Okay.
All recalls have to go back to the manufacturers.
That makes sense. Because I have a 95 Honda Accord, and here's what I wanted to tell Craig is that I'm jealous because he's got a guy. I had a guy who rebuilt my transmission. Hello. No, let me tell you what happened. I had a guy, and he rebuilt my transmission on my Honda minivan. I have an Odyssey. And he had like a 2-year warranty on everything. And we showed up one day for an oil change. Some other guy's there. Some different guy. Not even my guy anymore. He sold it to somebody else.
This Warren guy's been at the same place for a while.
Yeah.
So he's not going to go anywhere.
I think I'm going to come find you from now on.
31 years.
31 years in the same place. In the industry for how long?
48.
40, but you were 14, so now I have to do the math.
If you can add, you do the work, not me.
I'm not gonna do it. So what do you recommend for getting your car ready? I mean, like, it's already winter, but it's, there's obviously a lot to do to make sure you're prepared.
There's a lot to do. You have to take the time to
yes.
do it.
Okay.
You know,
first of all,
spend a little money to do it.
Okay.
My suggestions are you first make sure you have an emergency kit with you.
Okay. You know? A go bag, by the way.
You can call it a go bag, a go-to bag.
A go-to. Ooh, he's got a go-to bag.
Go-to bag.
What's in my go-to bag?
Jumper cables, just yes. in case you need them.
Mm-hmm. Is
you
it know, good?
Water, just in case you need a drink.
If you're on Lakeshore Drive and
when
Skilling's
you're sweating it out.
Yeah, Skilling says don't go on Lakeshore Drive. There might be 80 mile an hour winds, and you're like, I can make it, and then you're stuck for 14 hours.
Then you need extra plastic.
Extra plastic
to cut the wind.
On the you so you put plastic on the windows?
On your body.
On your bodies?
Just over you.
Hold on a second. So I have to cocoon myself in plastic?
Take notes. Take
yes,
notes.
Yes.
I don't have plastic in my bag. All right. I use a peanut butter jar in case I have to go.
Okay.
More.
Make sure there's peanut butter in it.
No. How am I going to go in the peanut butter jar if there's
that
peanut butter in it?
That has to be a really skillful situation too, Patty, by the way. That's what? Not a large item.
The peanut butter jar has got a wider
watch.
Opening. Yeah. No, I'm not inviting you to.
No, yeah.
This got weird.
That is a talent.
His daughter's
yeah, we just
here.
Went somewhere
it's
else.
Weird.
A lot of people in
so is Tess and her parents and friends and stuff. Okay, so your go-to bag, jumper cables. Should you have jumper cables?
Flashlight.
Flashlight. Should you have one of those like self-generated batteries attached to the jumper cables?
That's a little
rechargeable.
Expensive, yeah.
That's expensive. I have that.
Yeah. It's a little expensive.
That's too much.
It's expensive, yeah.
It was like I got it like on a Black Friday lightning deal on Amazon.com for like $40. Maybe it's not a good one.
I don't know.
All right.
There's a lot of them out there. Mine are like four times the expense.
All right, then. So I'll have to take it to you and see if it's worth it. Okay, so my plastic, water, my peanut butter jar.
You should have extra fluids in the car, like oil, antifreeze, extra wash the solvent.
Well, and the thing that we don't pay attention to enough, I think, is the windshield wiper fluid because you use it so much in the winter, and you're without that, you're screwed.
Correct.
So just go ahead and refill it every
couple
weeks.
You could
have
a water bottle and you can just reach your arm out the window and squirt it on the windshield.
I thought you were going to tell me I could put that in my fluid. Can I use that? Can I put water in there instead of windshield wiper fluid?
Yeah, just don't use it often though. It'll freeze.
Right. Then you're just creating a bigger problem.
Correct.
Okay, so we've got make sure our fluids are checked. How about our tire pressure?
That's last.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump in.
We'll get to that list.
Okay,
I have a whole list of things here. So, you know, if you have a four-wheel drive, you have to make sure all of your four-wheel drives are working.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure that, you know, you can engage it if it is. If it's all-wheel drive, you don't have to worry about it.
So you won't know that unless you have them checked out?
Unless you put it into four-wheel.
I don't know if I have four-wheel.
You don't have four-wheel.
I don't.
Not on your Odyssey.
Not Odyssey, no. How about my Honda Accord?
No.
95, okay.
No.
What's that ABS light mean? Go ahead.
Automatic braking system.
Yeah, the light's on.
You have a problem? You have to make sure that your belts and hoses are in good condition because mm-hmm. the rubber can be breaking on them. And under a lot of heat in the engine, believe me, there's more heat generated in the winter because of the extra work it has to have. It can crack your hoses and belts and give you more of a problem.
So yeah, and then your engine's going to overheat. If your stuff's all broken, you're going to see smoke.
I have a feeling if I take my Honda Accord to Warren, he's going to be like, here's three sheets.
He's not
itemized.
That judgmental, though. He's very nice about your bad car situation.
I just bought this from my mom like in the last year. So all the pre-existing stuff.
I hope she gave you a good deal.
$2,000.
Okay.
What do you think, on a 95 Accord?
She killed you.
I did? On a 95 Accord? You know what it was, yes.
By the way, we got a text message that I don't understand, so I hope Warren does. Patty, I love your show. This is a great segment. Can you please ask if you should put RTV between a silicon oil pan gasket or put it on dry?
I would have it moist.
Okay, moist.
Could you please mark that for Nick DiGilio's show? Please.
That's an out-of-context quote from the 773. Keep it moist.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. What is that? What did they just ask?
It didn't make any sense.
When you're putting a gasket on,
okay,
you want it so it'll stick.
Okay.
And some gaskets are more pliable and they will stick by themselves, or you have to put some kind of adhesive,
of course,
liquid of sorts to make it stick.
Okay. So
from the 224, what's the best used car to buy for only $2,500?
Not a Honda Accord, apparently. Apparently, I spent too much.
96 Jeep.
Oh, that's nice. That was a nice call right there. Well, I paid a little more.
Are you trying to sell Craig's car?
I paid a little more.
No. Okay, so, well, is there, do you have a favorite from the
favorite car for $2,500? Yeah, I would buy a Toyota or a Honda.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it is. Front wheel drive, mm-hmm. if possible. Yeah, those are great cars.
All right,
Toyota. Gas mileage, good maintenance.
And all right, let's. We're going to learn some more from Warren. When we
come
back.
And by the way, 312-981-7200. He is a car wizard. So if you have an issue that you can hear in the car, just call in and let us know.
He knows what's supposed to be moist. More after this on 720 WGN. And we found our car guy. We got Warren from European and U.S. Car Service, 4080 North Broadway Street. And also joining us tonight, we have a new favorite, and we have one of our favorites from the very beginning of Pretty Late. Last year, we had the pleasure of meeting Tess Considine, and she competed in the Bitter Jester Battle of the Bands. Tonight is her 10th appearance. And here she is with her song, Love Me Today.
Smoking cigarettes on the dock. You're a light, lit me up. Clouded by strangers' gaze, fueled on your nicotine. But in my lips, sweetly addicting, making me sing. Oh, whisper to the moon and bring me back before my heart runs away. Oh, sweep me up like a piece of a feather's dust and love me today. Just love me today. Come alive in the night. Run around like a child. Your eyes wide, glowing green. Blinding me from what's underneath. Hypnotizing me, yeah, yeah, I'm making me sing. Oh, whisper to the moon and bring me back before my heart runs away. Oh, sweep me up like a piece of feathers dust and love me today. Just love me today. And bring me back before my heart runs away. Oh, sweep me up like a piece of a feather's dust and love me today. Just love me today.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, we love you every day, Tess Considine.
Oh, thank you, Patty.
Wow.
That was really beautiful.
Beautiful.
Oh, that's the kind of music you can listen to in your car. Well, see what I did there? Did that? Some of you are. We have Warren from European and U.S. Car Service, the proprietor of such said business, 4080 North Broadway Street. And they guarantee, you yourself guarantee all your work?
Oh, yeah.
For the life of the car?
For the life of the car.
Wow. Do you have a custom? Well, there are some customers that you have that you just know that you've become familiar with, obviously, and they come back and you just know what they've had done off the top of your head. I'll bet, because I got a tire guy in Norwood Park that just knows me when I come in at Raz RAS on Milwaukee Avenue. Have you ever been there?
It's no, like, I know where it is.
It's just stacks of tires. I don't. Yeah. He has some sort of like. It's like a crazy scientist. You know, just knows where everything is. We have two listeners that have questions. Let's check in with Kathleen. Hi, Kathleen. What was your question?
Hi, I have a 2012 Honda Accord that has about 51,000 miles on it, and in the far left side of the dashboard, you know, where they keep the temperature of the engine?
Yes.
The alert light is on, and I went and I put in, you know, the antifreeze and that just kind of topped it off, but the alert light still remains. Well, and I don't see it, like, ever going, like, up in the high zone or anything like that, or the hot zone, if you will. But I'm concerned the alert light stayed on even after I put in the antifreeze.
Well, the antifreeze that you put in is good. If you were low and you topped it off, that is the smart thing to do. It sounds like your temperature, there's a sensor that's not working properly that's probably giving you your issue, and you should have that checked. There could be just a connection problem. There could be corrosion on it. You've got a lot of miles.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so if there's not a good contact, you're not going to get a correct read on your gauge, but you're not overheating, which is a good thing, which you have plenty of fluid.
Can you take the sensor out and just lick it and then put it back in?
No.
Just kidding. No. Kathleen's like, I have to do what?
You have to find it first.
Find the sensor. Yeah, yeah. Have that checked out.
Yeah.
There you go, Kathleen. Does that help?
Thank you very much.
Of course. Have a lovely evening. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you. Joe's got a question. Hey, Joe. What do you got for Warren?
Hey, kiddo. This is ironic.
Hey!
Yeah.
How you doing, Pumpkin?
Not too bad. Hey, listen, I was on with Nick last night, and I just tuned in real late, and I got on the line, and the girl put me on hold. My question was, after he said, basically, run all your washing fluid, window washing fluid, out of the car, because it tends to lose its alcohol content.
To winterize. He was saying to winterize, you should run the liquid out. Last night's guest on Nick D's show was saying to run it out. If you have a chance, it might be too late for that already.
You could do that, absolutely. Sure. You know, the alcohol level in it is so nominal, it's really not going to make much of a difference. But,
sure.
If you drive your car regularly, you're going to be using that fluid and you're going to be changing it. And it's not a bad idea to flush it out and get new stuff in.
So my question was, in a pinch, why couldn't I just put a little bit of rubbing alcohol in there?
I've never heard of that.
Well, you know, my only concern was it might harm the paint on the car surfaces or whatever.
I don't think that would.
No, I didn't either.
The concentration's not big enough, maybe. Well, rubbing alcohol mixed with water? I mean, I use it for my countertops, to be honest with you.
You could.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alcohol is a good, it's like Windex. But basically, that was my question. You know, in a pinch, could you just dump some alcohol in there?
Sure.
Could you
put
Windex in
there? So that was my question. It never got asked, whatever. So I thought, good time to repose it.
Yes, you could definitely use alcohol in there.
Well, there you go, Joe.
For rubbing.
I'm glad you called it for rubbing alcohol or wiping.
Drinking, yeah.
Yeah, all that. What are you talking about? Shush, Warren.
Hey, thank you. Do you want to get on an old topic briefly?
We don't have time. I have to take another question from Zach. I'm so sorry, Joe. Always good to hear from you, Punkin. And I know he wanted to talk about the video. Zach, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I just got a question for him.
Of course. Warren is here. Go ahead.
I got a lot of people that tell me, I got a 2001 Toyota Camry. They tell me that it's good to change the timing belt after 80,000 miles. Is that true?
For the age of the car, absolutely.
Do you have? You don't have 80,000 on a 2001 yet?
That's low mileage.
No. I got 140 on it right now.
So have you changed?
It's running fine. I have no problems with it.
You've never changed a timing belt, or you want to know if you need a third time?
I never changed it.
How long have you?
A lot of people tell me you should change it.
How long have you owned the car?
I've had the car for about 5 years now.
How many miles did you have on it when you got it?
75.
Change the belt.
Change the belt. Get ahead of it.
Beat the crunch.
Change the belt before it changes you. That's all I'm saying.
And I know we're late, but one more quick question. Last time I went to the shop, they said my code reader is not working. They said I need a new code reader. What's a code reader?
Code reader is probably, it's used for checking your emissions controls and any kind of warning systems that you've got in your engine. Check engine light, temperature, and emissions.
See, we had so many questions for you. I'm pretty sure we got to have him back. I think we have a couple days in December.
Yeah, let's do this again in December and maybe turn it into a monthly thing, Warren.
Warren, will you be our car guy?
I'm your car guy.
My car guy left, Warren. He rebuilt my
guy.
Transmission, said he'd be there for 2 years to follow up on that work and make sure it was just 2 years, though. You would have guaranteed it for the life of the car.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. I feel so screwed. Warren, how can people find you?
All they have to do is dial 773-248-1200 or come on over to 4080 North Broadway, and we can handle your auto mechanical work and your insurance work anytime you need it for accidents.
And you've got towing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
Yep, 365 days a year. Absolutely.
All of it. All that sounds really good, and I'm glad that you're there. If we need you, I think everybody needs you, Warren. And also, thank you for the Sloppy Joes. That was a delightful surprise. I know that your daughters are, they're being very patient and giggling. They're like, don't draw attention to us.
That's okay. They need it.
Lily and Claire, thank you so much for hanging out with your dad tonight. And my dad would have. I think you and my dad would have gotten along. Yeah, my dad was the kind of guy that would open the hood with a cigarette. Do you ever see those guys?
Oh, yeah. Well, they don't, with not in the hand. They have it hanging off their lip.
Yeah, they always have it dangling on the corner of their mouth. Mm-hmm. That's
Camels?
How did you know? Non-filtered Camels, because John Wayne smoked them. That's why my dad smoked
them. This guy's a genius. Yeah. I don't know if I told you.
Yeah, I don't think that wasn't part. That wasn't supposed to be part of your skill set, but
yes. No, it doesn't matter.
No. All right. Well, Warren, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks.
Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
And the same to you all.
Thank you. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late, and it's been since midnight. We have had just a wonderful flow of fantastic people entering the Showcase studio. I know it's a long night. There's a very serious story in Chicago tonight. We have talked about that, and I know that it continues to be a conversation that we want to have. If you do want to come join the conversation about anything we're talking about tonight, we encourage you to join us, 312-981-7200. Joining me in studio, we have Rena Kalm and Allie Clayton from Hoo Ha Comedy to tell us about an important event coming up next week. We also have Tess Considine, who is celebrating her 10th appearance here on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, and she has one of our favorite songs of the show. Here's Fool's Land.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Lately I've been thinking to write a song. This one goes to you if you feel alone. 'Cause I am a girl the people see is only shadow beneath their feet. Here each day, same faces, same games. In a fool's land, pretty little girls are talking like pretty girls, walking like pretty girls. When white and now wearing red, mixed up the colors, don't give a damn. In a fool's land, playing a witness, watching these silly games. I'm trying to lie to myself, it will be okay. I'm in a fool's land. In a fool's land, I'm in a fool's land, I'm in a fool's land. People keep telling me this will all end. I'm in a place where you gotta fit in. See the truth in all your lies, 'cause I'm not one of those pretty little girls who walks side by side. In a fool's land, pretty little girls are talking like pretty girls, walking like pretty girls. When white and now wearing red, mixed up the colors, don't give a damn. In a fool's land, playing a witness, watching these silly games. I'm trying to lie to myself, it will be okay. I'm in a fool's land where pretty little girls are talking like pretty girls, walking like pretty girls. Wearing white, not wearing red, mixed up the colors, don't give a damn. In a fool's land, pretty little girls are all talking like pretty girls, walking like pretty girls. Wearing white, not wearing red, mixed up the colors, don't give a damn. In a fool's land, playing a witness, watching these silly games. I'm trying to lie to myself, it will be okay. I'm in a fool's land, in a fool's land. I'm in a fool's land, I'm in a fool's land. Hey! Fool's land. Fool's land.
Yeah. Tess Considine, so good to have you back.
Thank you.
You have a single coming out. You wanted to tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, so back up in Traverse City, where I'm living now.
Going to school at Interlochen, no less.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I wrote a song, a recent song that I just played, Warm Hands. Mm-hmm. And so just for fun, I recorded it by myself, just like me and my guitar, and then I made a video also for fun. My roommate, who's a creative writer, happened to do the video for it, and mm-hmm. we just did it for fun, and I showed some of my friends, and one of them who is a singer-songwriter, but is a really good producer as well, his name's Jesse, he looked at it and he's like, I think we can make this audio way better. I'm like, okay. So he said, let's meet Sunday. I'm like, okay. And I assumed that he was just going to like add a little bit or just make it like sound better, more professional. We spent 5 hours, uh-huh. and he can play any instrument you give him. So he added piano, cello, strings. And so it became like a way bigger deal. I'm like, okay, I actually want to do something with this song.
Right.
And I had my friend Grace do harmonies. And so I started working more on the video and then on the song. And then he started mixing it and making it sound awesome. And so, and then my visual artist friend is making the album cover. So I'm like, hey, why not make it a single? So I'm going to release it in a few, like 2 to 3 weeks. I'm going to post it on my social media one specifically. But
which is what? What is your social media?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. My name's Tess Considine. So T-E-S-S and then Considine, C-O-N-S-I-D-I-N-E. And if you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I just got 500 likes, so.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Yeah, so if you check it out there, it'll be released on Spotify and iTunes, and the video will drop on my YouTube that same day.
Wonderful. Awesome. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You put so much work into it. How are you liking Interlochen?
I love it. It's great.
Like an Interlochen. It's hard to say. You also had a beautiful post about Paris. I know you spent a lot of time there last year playing music. And that has to be, especially because you're so young. This is the world that you're growing up in.
Yeah.
And I am so sorry. that we've, I mean, like, it's a lot of responsibility of what we're passing on to our, the next generation of what we've done politically and socially around the world and even in our own city. But, you know, the hope that we have is through young people like you creating
right.
music and, you know, seeing tragedy for what it is and having perspective on it, too.
Yeah. I always think that, I mean, it's a bad time. It says, like, there's always going to be bad stuff going on, but there's also always going to be good. Like, how we look back in history and, like, wow, like, I wish I wasn't in that time, thank God. But at the same time, right now, there's a lot of other bad things going on that people don't recognize. And then, so, I don't know. I mean, I think, for me, I'm pretty insignificant, but the fact that, like, I would want to use my music as a way to, like, kind of help or heal people or, like, raise awareness. So, yeah, I'm currently working on a song about that because I feel like I want to branch out from writing about myself but also writing about other situations, mm-hmm. whether they're real or not.
Well, in the studio with us, we have two comedians. They're excellent writers and performers who do the same thing, where they take real-life situations, their own, or in stories, things that they observe. We have Rena Kalm and Allie Clayton, who have an event coming up on Monday.
Hello.
And hi. You guys, hi. You do the same thing. You raise awareness, and people don't even realize it because they're like, I'm laughing. I didn't learn. Oh, I learned something, too.
Yeah.
And it's not something we like are trying to hit people over the head with. It's
no.
just through, you know, the lens of performance.
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of hard stuff that all of us have to deal with that if you can find a way to have a sense of humor or write beautiful art, make beautiful music about it. I mean, everybody needs to figure out a way to deal with some of this stuff. And mine is a lot of poop jokes. But
that's fantastic. I like she just goes right to it. Allie? You were shaking your head. You're like,
she doesn't support my art.
I get it. I do support her art. Rena poops herself.
No.
And it makes me feel better about pooping myself.
Right. Well, I mean, like, everybody poops. Isn't there a book? Everyone poos?
You know, the point is sometimes things are crappy and you got to work through it.
Exactly. You're like, this could go either way in some moments. So you have an event coming up at Shenanigans on Monday night with Hoo Ha Comedy.
Yeah, we're really excited to be back there. It's for the Soma Intimates Bra Drive, and they're collecting bras for the National Network to End Domestic Violence, which is just anything good is good. So let's end all the bad stuff. But yeah, so we're collecting bras. It's at Shenanigans this Monday mm-hmm. at 8 p.m. And we'll be doing some comedy. I'm not going to say what kind of jokes. I think I already gave too much away.
No previews. And they're collecting bras, and it's new and gently used. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if I gently use anything.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
I don't know that either.
If a bra works, I'm going to wear it out.
Yes.
But if
you know
I'll
what I was
one.
Thinking about, just like as it's now Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
and being a woman who dates women,
uh-huh.
That I'm super happy to have. Even boobs.
Even? Yes.
I agree. I will be donating that. I'll be donating a couple even bras for my even
We're
boobs.
Here to talk about the real issues. I have some bras that I've bought that I've just been like, you know what, I thought this would look good and it
Or be
I,
comfortable.
Right. And
or,
it just
or solve all my problems.
Yeah. And they're an expensive thing to buy, and so I mean people that need them We'll bring you some.
Yeah, I never know what to do with my old bras because it seems like something I wouldn't donate. But apparently that's why I kind of love this idea. Women never know what to do with their bras.
Right.
So they can donate them. They are collecting them throughout the month of November.
Yes.
But you can bring them to Shenanigans on Monday night.
We'll be there on the 30th. Yep.
On the 30th. Mm-hmm. So, that is the end of the month, isn't it? So you have some time.
You have up until the 30th to bring them to there. But I think they're taking, Soma Intimates does collections, I think, year round for this cause. They're just doing this one event at Shenanigans. So if you can't make it out to Shenanigans, we'll still take your bra.
I just imagine women showing up and like just taking it out from underneath.
It's like
shirt.
A rock concert where like ladies throw
if
bras.
If you can't be at Chicken Ann and I will still take your bra.
Yeah, there you, yes, you will. Allie is taking
and
bras.
Your number.
And your number. I think that'd be great if you just have like have everyone just throw bras at you on stage.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I think that'd be fantastic.
It'll be an interesting.
Allie, throw them at Allie. Throw all your bras and panties at Allie. More after this on 720 WGN. It's pretty late.
Myself, and your arms are the walls of this house. Now I will keep waiting to call you back home.
You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and that's the beautiful music of Tess Constantine. What song was that one, Tess?
That was actually a cover.
Yeah, it's an Allman Brothers cover.
Oh, is that why you were waving at me, Craig? You're like, could you get
it? Yeah, Allman Brown cover, excuse me. Yeah. It's really great. Yeah.
Excellent.
Sons and Daughters.
Mm-hmm. Tess is rejoining us for the 10th time on our show. Rejoining us in the sense that she's back in Chicago for the holidays as she takes break from Interlochen. Mm-hmm. So what's it like?
I'm in a forest.
You're in a I don't know if you're making that sound positive. It's not forest happiness.
It's good and bad. I mean, the only bad thing is that the food, I would say, and the bad Wi-Fi.
Okay.
But besides that, I mean, in some ways,
well, food's really kind of important.
Yeah, but I mean,
Craig's like, yeah, I don't know how you brush past that.
Yeah, that's like a big deal.
Like the dorm food or the.
The cafeteria food.
Yeah.
They don't have dorm food. But I go grocery shopping once in a while. But
You should Peapod. You probably can't Peapod up there. Or Amazon or anything? No.
People actually buy a lot of stuff through Amazon.
Yeah.
To get big packages of like food and candy.
Right.
Yeah. But
I feel like we should send her a care package now. We could get her address. Send you some fun stuff.
They got Illuminati's up there?
Tess is a freshman in college?
Yeah. No, she's in a junior high school boarding school. It's for music and arts.
Oh, cool.
Yes. Is it all music?
No. It started as music, but it's also theater, creative writing, dance, MPA, motion picture.
Those other people?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Orchestra, band, visual art. Yeah.
A lot of creative people there. Yeah. And then you're still doing your physics and science, all the math and all those things.
Yeah.
Huh. There we go. Mom's thrilled to hear that. Mom and dad are like, can we also do all that stuff? How was it to make friends coming in as a junior? I know you didn't start there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel like you were starting out behind or do you feel like, hey?
No, because I mean, you in most high schools it feels that way, but there are very few freshmen that go all the way through. And there's only 40 freshmen. Most people start junior or senior year, just for like 1 to 2 years, just because of price or just like leaving their families and all that. So, most people come in as a junior. So the majority of new people are juniors.
Does it cost to go there? Because I'm thinking about going there this year as a junior.
Well, okay, you can get scholarship.
She doesn't have a check.
You can get scholarship.
I'm 29.
Okay. The original price without scholarship is
$50,000. I'm sorry. That was my tongue. I just swallowed that. Griffin, there's no reason to leave Chicago. You're more than happy to.
We got food.
We have good food. Yeah, but it's Interlochen. And our good friend of the show, Ava Sapelsa, recently. Yeah. Did she finish up there?
Yeah, she's now at Berkeley.
She's at Berkeley.
I've heard of it.
Are you already thinking about where you want to go next?
I have some like ideas. Yeah, for sure. I want to do music in college mm-hmm. and be in a music city. So.
Excellent. Yeah. And so your single is coming out soon in the next few weeks.
Yes.
And everyone go to Tess Constantine on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all those things.
Social media.
All the social media. Well, we want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much.
If you have time over the, I only have 2 days left for the rest of December. When do you go back to Interlochen for the Christmas break?
I go back on January
2nd. 3rd, okay. Third. The next time I'll be here is January 1st, so maybe if you want to come by on a Friday before you go back, we'd love to have you.
Thank you.
I'll be here on New Year's Day.
Awesome.
Good night, Tess Constantine and your family.
Patty.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Do we have a break or to the news, Craig? A little quick break. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And I have with me in the studio one of the producers and creators of Hoo Ha Comedy.
Yeah, original.
And you guys do shows every month.
Well, we're finding, we actually just started at a new space. We had our first event for Halloween. It was Hoo Halloween, and it was super fun.
Great photos, by the way. You were Morticia.
I was
spectacularly
Morticia.
So.
Allie was my Gomez. We make a smashing couple. But yeah, so that one, it's at the White Room. It's this kind of like cool loft space. It's near
perfect.
Like Ashland and Cortland. And we're going to get on a schedule of, I think, like the last Friday of every month. But our next one is actually December 18th, as the last Friday is Christmas this year. So December 18th, we're doing our next big Hoo Holidays.
Nice.
Lots
well
of tinsel.
Done.
Free beer from New Belgium Brewery. So we're really excited they're working with us. And they brought us like a bunch of cases of beer, Fat Tire, and all that good stuff. So they'll be there. We'll be there. Great comics. And appropriately enough, we're going to get everybody drunk. So we're going to be also hosting the next day the Blackout Diaries to talk about.
At the at Timothy O'Toole's?
No, actually, Blackout Diaries is now at the Hi Hat Club. And we're doing it this Saturday as well as like we're doing it once a month for the next however long. But
and where's the Hi Hat?
Hi Hat Club is 1920 West Irving Park, right off the Irving Park Brown Line.
Nice.
And we're going to be there this Saturday at 8 p.m. with some fun drinking stories and
and who doesn't have some of those?
Or, you know, things you don't
and
remember.
It is sponsored by Malort. So.
That's sponsored by
what?
Malort. I bragged about the New Belgium sponsorship for our other show. I did not brag about the Malort sponsorship for Blackout Diaries.
Yeah,
that's more of like an extra consequence for coming out.
It is it's something to it's a developed taste. It's something that you have to.
Some people like it, and
some
I'm
people
like,
love it.
Good for you. You're tough. You've had a hard life.
It's like taking on a challenge.
Yeah,
it is a little bit.
I don't get it.
You don't get why people like it? Well, I don't think it's any worse than tequila.
I like tequila.
Well,
I like
tequila.
A good tequila.
They're like, tequila, leave tequila alone.
Yeah, leave tequila out of this. If you want to compare it to gin, we can talk.
All right, gin. Gin's a little woodsy for me.
No, Malort smells like, I don't know, there's like hints of like acid fruits, like acidity, but
know.
Also
it's
like...
Just...
Have
you
also ever had like armpits, you
oh,
know?
Have you ever had absinthe is a little strong as well, but it's...
Yeah, I've had absinthe. Oh, girl, I've had
So you have... Okay, so on the...
So the 20... This set... Here's the rundown. Mm-hmm. 28th this Saturday, we've got the Blackout Diaries. Hi Hat Club, 1920 West Irving Park. Monday, shenanigans for the Soma Intimates Broad Drive to help the National Network to End Domestic Violence. Bring everybody needs a bra. Tina Fey said one time, she's like, that's some advice I would never I never regretted taking was always wear a bra.
Always
like there's never
a
day that you're like, oh, I wish I didn't wear a bra today.
I
you know?
Sleep in a bra, not a regular. I have to wear a jogging bra. Well, I've breastfed two kids. If I don't wear a jogging bra, I wake up like I'm like a princess in the nipple. I can't. I'm on
well,
the,
that's
why,
a, that's the why you look so great right now.
Cause I always wear a bra. Cause they're,
well, yeah.
They stay in shape.
You keep it ready to go.
Is that that's why? I don't know if that's what makes me look better or not. I remember there's a guy. This guy was like,
and you climb 18,000 stairs every day.
Yeah,
if anybody follows you on Twitter or Instagram, she climbs.
I just started again.
Every stair, every day.
Get them glutes right. You don't need a bra for your glutes.
It it makes a difference. Although, you know, it's weird is that my thighs are much bigger now, so jeans are actually tighter.
But muscles.
As strong, not skinny.
Yeah.
I'm going for strong, not skinny.
You know what?
I don't know why I'm waving a plastic knife at you, but
that's okay.
I'm going to stop that.
You know what? For the viewers at home.
or on WGNradio.com. You can watch us live
streaming.
Was
plastic and it was a rehearsed bit. I knew she wasn't going to threaten
me. I would never threaten you. Yeah. But yeah, no, this event on Monday is at Shenanigans and it's to stop domestic violence. Donate a bra or make donations.
You're going
to
be there too, right?
I'm going to come to that event.
Nice.
Yes.
They have popcorn. It's a pretty cool place.
How can you not come if there's popcorn? There's
gotta they've got popcorn and popcorn. Literally buckets of bras. I don't know.
Buckets of bras and popcorn. I think that they're also partnering with other bars in the area. I think that mother's well, yeah. just going to be there.
Yeah, they work that whole network shenanigans. I think they have a
few I have a
bars.
Couple of bras that I'm bringing, personally. All right.
We'll compare bras.
So, I mean, if you need a bra or if you just want to see a bra that Allie doesn't need anymore, you know?
I wish they would do that, like let you know if something is too, not gently used, but too used. And like if someone yeah. else is like, but I could use it. That would or be like, nice put little bra exchange.
Like a bra bio, like who was in here first?
You know what would be a fun game is try to figure out which comedian
wore this bra.
Exactly. Yeah. Whose bra is this of the comedians that are on the stage?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. That'd be fun.
That could be a fun game.
I think that we might could make that happen.
Well, with that one, it's like, I don't know what kind of awareness we're raising, but I think people would
maybe
pay
not
attention.
For this show, maybe yeah. for a show in the future. How's
but
that?
If we just randomly talk about whose bra is whose during
guys,
our
can
holiday
we
show.
Make the show about domestic violence about us.
Yes, I think we could do that. We've had our friends from Verizon. They actually collect used phones that either refurbish them or take them apart for parts, and they're able to. They've created a fund so that women can have an emergency phone. A lot of women don't leave a dangerous situation, and they're afraid. You know, they don't want the person that's abusing them going through their phone with sure. trying to reach out for help. So they can have a phone just in case they absolutely need to get out of a situation. Because people always say, "Why don't you just leave?" It's not as simple as that.
I just think that there are so many resources that people don't realize that there are. Mm-hmm. And if you are in a bad situation, like aside from whatever network of friends you may have that you're not sure of, like if you Google it, there are so many things that want to help you, like in yeah. different ways. So if it's a bra, a phone, or a place to go, like
yes.
definitely
reach out.
Raising awareness is
reach
important.
Out.
Yeah.
Do we
currently know a local shelter that women could go to?
I don't have the information in front of me as far as shelters that women can go to. But as Rena said.
But yeah, I mean, if you can't Google it, call Allie Clayton. I'll give you her number right now.
It's 919-730-3913.
Oh, God.
Hold on. I'm getting there's a domestic violence hotline in the state of Illinois. And let me see if I can find that right now. There's obviously domestic hotlines all over. The national domestic hotline, 24/7. It's also confidential. And people can get involved. You can call 1-800. Why am I getting a safety alert? Computer use can be monitored.
Yeah, that's okay. Look what I'm doing.
That's creepy. I'm going to the... it's so funny. Why isn't the number on the... Here we go.
Well,
get
part of like hoo-ha comedy, what we've been like, what we founded ourselves on is not taking a subservient role as women. Just because we're women doesn't mean we can't do the same things that everybody else is doing out there and do them strongly and do them well. And so if there's any ladies out there that don't feel like they have that within them, like you do, and there's people that can help you get there.
And you can call for the national hotline. It's 1-800-799-7233. That's 1-800-799-SAFE or 7233. And they also have you can also chat live if you have access to a computer. You can talk to someone right away, and they will they are available 24/7. It's private. But yeah, this is a great event you guys are doing on Monday. And hoo-ha comedy. Now, is it hoo-ha in the marine sense? Or is or not hoo ha? Is
not
it
not like hoo ha?
Hoo ha?
Hoo ha?
Hoo ha?
No, it's like hoo ha, like Al Pacino from whatever movie.
He wasn't in the military, isn't that why he does that?
I don't know.
Or is it vaginas?
The sound of laughter and vaginas. It's not the sound of vaginas, but the sound of
laughing vaginas.
The sound of a laughing vagina. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that is too much.
I think
for
it's
the radio.
A little bit about laughter and a little bit about the fact that five women can come together and can rock a comedy show.
Well, I'm sure that you come across this in your travels as comedians. Mm-hmm. There are places that won't have more than one comedian right. on a show. I've done a show at a club that I'm very closely connected with and found out that the opening act had been the feature act, and they told her they needed to put some distance between the two of us.
Oh,
they wanted
gosh.
To put a male feature act.
There are certain clubs that, like, I literally can't think of a single female headliner that they've yeah. had, you know? And
oh, you can go through the lineup. I
you
see
run the
all
female
the time.
Funny
there
show
are certain
at Zany's.
Clubs that I will not perform at right now because I'm not allowed to admit that I date women.
They told you stop saying that if you stop yeah. talking about dating women?
Yeah.
You don't want to tell me who they are?
No.
No? Okay.
Well, certain communities have a certain outlook about things like that, that it's not a very comfortable situation to talk about people's sexuality and stuff like that. It's not very accepting. So,
but men anybody can talk about that's dating. Out there that's listening, I'm saying that I will not go back there and I will not perform there and that...
What a weird way. I mean, what is their thinking that their audience won't buy drinks then because you date women? I mean, the opposite. If people found out that they're being intolerant of the material that you do... I mean, it's biographical. That's what we do as stand-up comics. Right. We tell our stories. And it's not even so much censorship. They're basically saying you should be ashamed of that, and we don't want our audience to be exposed to that. It's very strange.
I think the thing that's funniest to me is the fact that, like, I'm Southern, and that's very apparent. And No, really, no, I am.
I thought you were from Alaska.
My favorite joke is when she says, "I'm from Sweden."
I do do that.
And I'll bet there are people who believe you.
Yeah. I've just never heard an accent before.
Oh, so I work at an elementary school during the day, and I've had multiple children walk up to me and go, "Miss Sally, we figured it out. We know where you're from." And I'll say, "Where am I from?" And they'll go, Australia.
I could kind of see that, though.
Yeah.
I can see a Southern accent being mistaken by children for an Australian accent.
Yeah,
that
I get
that could happen. How's Bradley doing? Is it Brad? Bradley?
Bradley.
Bradley,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, the BK man. He is...
He's an adult that you care for. Mm-hmm. He's an adult with developmental delays. Is it autism?
Yeah. He has autism, yeah.
I wasn't sure. We've crossed paths at the... Equestrian Connection.
Yes.
Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday we ride horses.
I had my first Portillo's. I met them a couple weeks ago and had my first Portillo's, and we had dinner after his horseback riding. And
nice.
We're going to have Thanksgiving together.
At Portillo's?
No.
I was just checking.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong
just
going to
get some fries.
But Bradley's doing well.
Yeah, he's great.
Are you guys doing another fundraiser as you did last year for the center that he's a member
of? I'm not certain as to where I'm going to give the money to this time.
Oh.
But I've spoken with the Laugh Factory, and they're super interested in doing a big benefit for Bradley's birthday.
Oh, wonderful.
He hosted the last one. It was great.
Aw. Yeah, he was great when we were there.
He's the light of my life and the funniest guy you will ever meet in your life, and he deserves a night to shine.
And he and his entire family are so very lucky to have you. I hope to have an Allie in our life someday for Declan. I do. It's hard. I mean, when we have whether it's respite workers, you know, or a lot of therapists, a lot of people kind of, there's a big turnover.
Mm-hmm.
Either they move or they get married, they have kids,
sure.
They lose their visa.
I think also, I mean, if you're really dedicated to a family working like that, I think some people kind of go into it saying, like, I'll do this for X amount of time, because you do have to, like, kind of, you know, if you're really doing it right, give up kind of a little bit of your life to be able to service that person and that their needs. So I think that there's a lot of people in, like...
I mean, there was definitely, like, a podcast I was supposed to be on last weekend, and Bradley was having a really hard time, and they needed me.
Right.
Yeah. Aww.
And I said, I can't go do the podcast.
What a caring, big-hearted person you are, Allie.
Well, that's not what I was... I'm not...
I'm serious. I mean, like, other people would be like, I got to go to work.
Right.
I got to go do my podcast. Right. And you are like, no, this is my... This is what I do. Correct. Did it sound like I was making fun of her?
Oh, she is a wonderful, amazing person, is what I think we were all trying to say.
I know, and I wasn't. Yeah. It's weird when Craig gives, like, we realize we have to move on, but we hang out. We're going to do what we meant to get to in just a moment. Okay. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. We've got Who Hot Comedy in the studio, Rena Kalm and Allie Clayton.
Didn't have time to talk about it. It did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go. The end of the show. Go slow. No, we didn't get to it. We thought we had time, but we blew it. We don't have time to discuss the...
Oh, man. It took us a few minutes to get Rena and Allie to get out of their chairs and start dancing. And when they realized you were also dancing, that I wasn't just by myself, Craig.
I thought you were having a seizure for a moment.
Actually,
I thought Latina women knew how to dance better. And then I was just like,
I'm not wearing the right bra. For you, call it dancing. I call it excessive Kegeling. Yes?
That was the first time in studio we had one of our guests screaming at the other guest to dance, by the way. Allie was very aggressive.
Allie made me dance.
Yes, she did.
Thank you for that. A little bit of cardio. Esmeralda does she does some of her chair dancing in the event that Craig and I cannot continue the show and we're out of breath. She is there to back us up.
I also more just sing.
It's a good song by Jason Skaggs. We like that one.
I know all the words.
Now, I feel bad, Craig. We don't have anything we didn't mean to get to. I think we got to everything. That was a packed show.
Yeah. We were going to talk a little bit about how people clean their houses. How that dynamic works at
home.
Or don't.
Or don't.
Hello. Well, I woke up this afternoon. My boss called to have our daily production meeting. Mm-hmm. And she was asking me how I was doing. And she said, I don't know how you do it. You always seem so organized. And I said, hold on a second. So I started taking pictures of my house, of the rooms in my home. There's our dining room has a pile of laundry. The dining room table is covered in everything, whether it's homework and bills.
What else is the surface for? I mean, quit trying for eating? No.
Madness. And another corner that has a lot of boxes, whether it's from Amazon or just things that have accumulated. And I sent them to her. She goes, oh, I love you. She felt much better after that.
Yeah.
I don't. It's the thing that, although I have heard that artistic people tend to be sort of sloppy.
Well, I have a lot of stuff.
I do, too. And I have very small space. And
I have
there's
a lot
four
of wigs.
Us.
I have a wig cabinet. But,
wait,
you know, I can't keep
wait,
it all in the cabinet.
Wait, what?
I have three wig bags.
Why do you have wig bags?
Listen, it's too bad this isn't a wig drive
and
because
I have
we have a lot of wigs.
In my trunk.
Okay,
my bras have wigs. I mean, I have a lot.
Okay, we're not talking about your hairy nipples right now.
Oh, aren't we though?
An issue.
So, what do you guys? Is this just an accumulation over the years?
Yeah, because like you know, you never have the wig you need. Even if you have a wig cabinet, you're still like, I need a Morticia wig this
year.
You know
what? I need a new Cher wig right now because Bradley has taken my Cher wig.
You know, I have a, there's a lot
but
of
nothing
things.
Makes him happier than putting on that Cher wig.
No, but I think that.
We are entering adult topics here.
Cher? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, dress up games. I don't know what's going on.
I'm sorry. I just had to strike a Peter Nickius from
I'm
the Chicago
sorry,
Tribune.
Were we worried on WGN that at it's 1 in the morning.
We're talking about hairy nipples?
Yeah.
That, yeah. Well, let's say it again.
By the way, crime reporter for the Chicago Tribune, Peter Nickius, apparently was trying to bang on the windows. So I kind of feel bad that we didn't know. I would have had him in the studio. He was reporting on the protests tonight.
Oh, he was that great at crime, he would have broke through the windows.
I know. It's like Peter said he banged on the windows, but I can't. I also wear headphones on top of that.
Well, and they're double reinforced. That's two sets of windows there.
Yeah.
I just gave a great joke and nobody realized.
I'm sorry. What did he say? What'd you say?
We got it. We got the.
Yeah, I didn't hear. I was texting Peter
Nickius. She said if he was good at crime, he covers crime. He doesn't actually.
He covers, I don't know if it was a good joke.
Well,
Callie.
That's his own mess up.
That's okay. We're going to have really good jokes at all these events we're plugging here for you. I want to say that. We will dance. There's going to be bras. There's going to be dancing. There's going to be hair wherever there is hair. I don't know if it's a wig or if it grows naturally, but we're going to have all you need.
Warning. You have incited the adult warning once again. I'm trying to tell Peter to next time text us or send me a message because I would
give us a call, bro.
Yeah, exactly. So let me do this real quick. I'm hold on a second. I don't want to give him the wrong number.
I would like to say this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Should you? Back.
Yes. Okay. What?
That when you sent the email, you said I request Allie Clayton. Well, here I am.
I like
the
fact.
And they gave me vodka.
She doesn't need to know there's no email involved. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know what's happening right
now.
No,
I also like the fact that she goes, I have something to say right now. And then that was the longest pregnant pause.
I wasn't
heard.
Sure where that was going to go.
I thought, call it a pregnant pause.
Well, that's what they call it.
That's what they call it.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know radio talk. I'm
so
sorry.
You can say pregnant, but you can't say play it.
It's filled with...
Oh, sweet God. This is all the stuff we meant to get.
It means that it's filled with a little bit of drama.
Yeah,
there's something.
Patty, I don't clean my house either. That's
me neither.
Yes. I don't clean my house because I'm never there.
Do you? Would you ever hire, if you were in the position to hire a house cleaner?
Before you even finish the
sentence,
I have before and I will again. Every time I've had a roommate, no need to pay me back, gals. No, there's just one lady I don't like.
Don't you feel like you have to clean before the person that's going to clean your house comes
a
over?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Or even in a hotel. I don't like them just coming in and seeing my stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, ugh. Mm-hmm. But
the chaos.
You can find a good cleaning deal online, and it's like definitely worth it. I'll definitely pay for somebody to just come in, do a full swoop, get it done.
That
you
makes
know what?
Absolutely.
Like, I'm pretty good about just like regular picking up, but like I'm not real good about like cleaning.
You know what I will never
board.
Do is
like the baseboards. Who cleans a baseboard?
I'm never going to clean behind my tub.